Blog Talk Radio. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'.
Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'.
Give me a little something to remember. Tryna make love in a sprinter. Quit to drop a nigga like Kimber. Looking like a right swipe on Tinder. Shit on these hoes. Let up my wrist on these hoes. Now I look down on these bitches. I feel like I'm on stilts on these hoes. But fuck your baby daddy right now. And the maid got cake by the pound. Go down, eat it up, don't drown. Making cheese in a bowl, how it sound? I got that gushy, yeah that's a fact, but I never been pussy. I've been that bitch since pajamas with footies. One MVP and I'm still a rookie, like whoop. I gotta work on my anger. Might kill a bitch with my fingers. I gotta stay out of Gucci. I'm finna run out of hangers. Is she a stripper, a rapper, a singer? I'm busting blacks in her belly, my nigga. Right through your hood, like bitch, I'm the mayor. You not my bitch, then bitch, what? Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'.
Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they trippin'. Bitch, you a thot, ain't trickin'. Put her on the knee, make her lick it. Protect on my wrist, in the glistening. Bitch got mad, I dissed her. Shawty, you ain't nothing to a rich nigga. I put a check on a bitch nigga. Fuck your whole set and your clip nigga. Got a gang full of dud, it's a broke nigga. Diamonds on me, what's the price? I'm not getting involved with the hype. I'm too rich to get into a fight. 50 rack got my jeans fitting tight. Fitted price and them boy come and wipe ya. We had to dispose of the diaper. Yeah, we trap every week, every night. Where my movie too smooth, no indictment. Yeah, figures all lightning. 57, 90 in his biting. When I got a meal, I got excited. For the cash, I'ma turn to Michael Myers. But yes, keep dripping, dropping. My wrist all liquid, watch it. Turn a bit, jump on my dick and pop it. Yeah, get a little bit to the deposit.
Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'.
Bitch, you a thot, ain't trickin'. Put her on the knee, make her lick it. Protect on my wrist, in the glistening. Bitch got mad, I dissed her.
Take off. Came through drippin', drippin'. I ain't never slippin', I'm a fan fit. Fuckin' with a quarter million nigga with a feeling. What the mission, nigga, they be tellin' off a thrillin'. Flash, took a bit to Piccadilly, water in my ear, give a nigga wet willy. Came through drippin', drip, feelin'. Fuckin' with the bag, tryna get my niggas all a million. Packin' to the ceiling, shootin' at civilians. Under one dealin', I can make a killin'. Bass, can you smell it when I back ceiling? Flash, nigga, throw it up, don't care about your feelin'. Ooh, what the deal, what you wearin', I be drippin'. Cow rip, can't see the nigga, can't grip it. The bitch got this, so I can she ate jiffy. She leave with me, I'ma fly back to the city. So,
go get the back on the day off. Racks. Go get the rings out the playoffs. Rings. Tossing the beaters to bake off. Packs. Fuck on a dish, she get laid off.
Slash.
Big boy twos, Mako. Big boy, made a bit down with the Draco.
Damn.
Walking with a G, that queso. That's Huncho, fuck the Rodeo.
Huncho.
Private jet, we don't do layover. Whew. One call, I'm having your bay over. Walk out the spot with the makeover.
Whew.
Got a addicted to pay over.
Addicted. Hey.
Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'.
Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they trippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they trippin'.
Drip. You are equipped with succulent lips and those four-figured hips. Ass sits like a statue of thoroughbred Eastern Continental goddess, and you got this way of making me want to write erotic and tasty bars like a Milky Way dressed in lingerie. The looks we trade explains that you digging what I say. My display is California swag with the Midwest tongue, gangster grunge hung, and it hits like a Selassie I Naughty Root Boy that will lick your pearl tongue ting a time or two. Me not true till you come to me, pull out me stun gun and go on to run your poom poom plum with the cadence of a snare drum. My surgeon seed is in need of your perfect randomness. Caress and handle my mammal. Uplift mm-hmm. this gift. My simple wish is that you grip me with your fist and make this mic drip. Mm-hmm. Mm, just like that. Make my mic drip. You're tripping. You got me tripping when you do it like mm-hmm. that. Acrobatic tongue lashes on my demographics has me breathing asthmatic. You're fantastic at classically mastering my apparatus like you practice verbal gymnastics, and I find it attractive that you swag with your gag when you're orally active. My stretch is asking, rather demanding that you back that fatness in my direction. Crash my erection with the wetness of your intersection. I'm collecting electric vibes from your amplified love sounds when I'm inside. Your midnight cry strokes the ego of my earlobes as if my stronghold is at the mercy of your lips. I missed with your grip, and we fit as if we were made up for each other by a locksmith. So enamor me with your gifts. Let your temple be filled with my miss at this climax of our trip. I just ask you this. Can you make this mic drip?
Hey.
What's up? What's up? What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm all right. I thought you were missing in action.
Nah, I'm here. It's just a lot of different things going on at the same time. Podcast stuff.
Right.
I got an interview with Zane dropping tomorrow, so I'm preparing for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. We did it back in March, and she wanted me to hold it for tomorrow because she has a movie coming out on the 13th, which is coming to Amazon Prime,
okay.
And she speaks about it a lot in the interview. So, you know, the flyer that I put together, I have the cover of the movie on the flyers for people to check it out. So I'm excited, man.
Oh.
I'm excited. So
yeah, I'm excited too. I like Zane. I know she's hard to, you know, sit down with. So kudos to you.
I mean, to be honest, she was actually down to sit down with me much longer. But, you know, on that particular day, she was a little under the weather. So, you know,
okay.
I didn't get a full interview. I think I got about an hour with her, but she was ready to sit down with me for as long as you did, you know, and really get
right,
in depth.
Right.
So hopefully, in the future.
I kept on talking.
She was doing the same thing.
The vibe.
Would you listen? Yeah.
Right.
We was vibing too. But
Right.
Yeah, man, that puts me in a different headspace with the show. You know, it's always fun to sit down with people for the at the table segment that I do of Unapologetic. But a lot of people
right.
I've sat down with have been my peers that kind of started around the time that I started. This is the first time I sit down with somebody who had like 15 years in before anybody knew my name.
Right.
You know, so it's a different thing to sit down with somebody like that. Very humbling. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm excited
definitely.
Too. Definitely looking forward to that.
It's
so,
coming out tomorrow. It'll be live. Actually, Apple jumped the gun already. It's live on Apple Podcasts for people who have Apple now. But for every other platform that
okay.
I have it on, it'll be live tomorrow. So,
okay,
you
well,
know.
All the Apple users, get on that. It's available
yep.
now for you. But I'm an Android user, so I'm going to check it out tomorrow.
I'll be sure to tag as many people as I possibly can, even if I got to, you know, repost the flyer a couple of times. I'm going to try my best.
Well, I know you always tag me anyway, so But I'll definitely be looking out for it.
Definitely.
All right. So.
So what else is going on?
Well, let me introduce both. You know, once again, you know, another segment of Literary Talks with Mona. I'm Mona, and this is my co-host, Elijah Foreman. So Saturday, our show, you know, we were having a technical difficulty, so we had to cancel the show. So our guest from Saturday, I had to reschedule her to today. So she'll be so our special guest will, you know, this month, the month of May, is Ladies Month. So it's all female authors for this month. But our guest tonight is actually, she's actually not an author. So I decided to do a special interview. I wanted to basically talk about authors in the industry, like male authors in the industry who are incarcerated, and basically, you know, about how a lot of male authors actually, they don't really have anybody to, you know, have their back, to hold them down. A lot of them have family who basically left them hanging, or have wives, girlfriends who basically left them hanging. So I wanted to, you know, I came across an author who, well, his wife, slash fiance, wife, let's just call him his wife because she basically, you know, carried that title to the fullest, but she had reached out to me about promoting for him. And so from there, you know, once a author hired me to promote for them, I follow them, you know, on Facebook, Instagram. And I just couldn't help but notice how these two, like, they really, she really, like, holds them down. Like, she, you know, I don't know their backstory. That's why, you know, I'm glad she's here tonight to basically, you know, share an insight of the background of their relationship and, you know, a little bit more about the author himself. I'm going to introduce his name right before I bring her on. But I just wanted to briefly give an intro of, you know, this author. You're a very lucky man because this woman right here, she really, like, holds him down to the fullest from what I could see. And then I've spoken with her a couple of times on the phone. So she's like a true ride and die. So, so I decided to do a special segment on it, you know, to bring her on. And basically it's sort of like a mini, you know, like it would be a great title, like, you know, male incarcerated authors and the women who love them type of thing, you know. So this author right here, his woman really, you know, holds him down. So, you know, I can't wait to, you know, chat with her to just find out, like, what is it like, you know. And I don't know their history, like how long they've been together, you know, if they were together prior, you know, to his incarceration. I don't know how long he's been in there. I don't know none of that. So we're going to find all that out once we do you know, sit down and chat with her. So that's our theme for tonight, Ride and Die Love.
No, I
mean, it's very hard to find that kind of love, that kind of devotion. You know, it's real. That's very, very hard to find. So it's like, you know, when I see something like that, it's like, oh, you know, that's it's beautiful. That's excellent. That's black love right there.
Mm-hmm. There's one thing about authors. I'm sure plenty of authors can agree with me. We're very sensitive about our shit, male or female. So when we have somebody sitting next to us, you know, I tell my lady all the time, it don't take much. Like, if you're sharing my book link or if you're reading a piece of my book and you take a picture of the page that you were just reading, and you put a caption up like, damn, that's crazy, and you post it. Like, that means so much to authors because what a lot of people don't realize is we sit up at night late, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, just going over stuff in our head and doubting ourselves and not knowing if this scene or chapter was good enough and stuff like that.
Right.
And then we just say F it and we put it out anyway. When you have somebody next to you that is pushing you or at least just showing the support, posting and telling other people about what you write and stuff like that, that goes a long way. So, you know, I'm sure this author is very much appreciative to have a woman coming in to represent him because he can't represent himself. That's the highest elevation of love right there. That's dope.
Right. Well, before we go in to introduce our guest, because I do believe our guest is here, I wanted to give a prime example of when you find somebody that totally devoted to you, you know, how, you know, when you show appreciation, you know, some people, unfortunately, they don't appreciate that type of devotion. They don't realize that they're getting that type of devotion until it's you know, gone. So a quick, brief example, you know, my daughter's father, you know, he's have a business, HVAC technician, and he started that business, you know, when we were together. So I used to, when I first came on Facebook 2010, like before I became an author, I was just a regular person on, I wasn't even a reader in 2010. I discovered Facebook, created my page. So between 2010 and 2013, 14, I used to, you know, post his business card and, you know, shout him out. Anybody need an HVAC technician, you know, I was like, you know, doing that all the time. And then when the relationship really, you know, right before the relationship ended 2017, you know how a lot of women, we emotionally, mentally check out of the relationship before we physically leave. I didn't actually leave the relationship until 2017, but around 2015, 16, I emotionally checked out. All the stuff I used to do, I stopped doing. And that was the number one thing that I stopped doing was shouting out his business. I stopped posting him on Facebook because, yeah, I was like 1 foot out the door, you know what I'm saying, because it was just a lot of stuff going on in the relationship that I wasn't having. So I stopped doing. He started complaining. Oh, you're not shouting out my business anymore. You're not posting my business card. But, yeah, first of all, it wasn't being appreciated when I was doing it, right? And yeah, I don't do that no more because, you know, once you, you know, stop being in love and so, yeah, so, and that's how I am, you know, so once I'm, like, emotionally checked out the relationship, I stop doing that. So it's really great when you have somebody that devoted to you and that supports everything that you do, and, you know, everything counts. Like, I know this one particular author couple, and they're always sharing each other's link. You know, I'm not going to mention their name, but I would love to get them in here one day. But they're like the literary power couple, and they're always posting each other's links. Like, it was her birthday not too long ago, and he, you know, gave her a shout-out, you know, for her birthday. And underneath, he was like, check out her book, and he posted her link. That is beautiful. You know, that's beautiful right there. So, you know, I always say, I want an author. I want to be in a relationship with an author. Like, it's really beautiful when you have somebody that, you know, that shot you out like that. So that's a, you know, that's a beautiful thing. So I understand what you're talking about, Elijah. You know, with the whole, you know, having somebody support you.
Definitely. Because you never know, it goes a long
way. Right,
right. When your spouse is your number one thing. It goes a long way.
Right. So that's the theme for tonight. So we would love for, you know, for everybody to call in Literary Talks with Mona on Drip the Mic Network of 803-55. Press 1 to chat with us. I forgot to give shout out to our CEO of Drip the Mic. That was his poultry that you just heard. You know, matter of fact, speaking of our CEO, Aziz, I gotta make sure I say my name correctly this time. Aziz Poemenologist. Oh God, please forgive me. that name is like such a tongue twister for me. So Aziz.
Are you trying to say poemologist?
Poemenologist.
It sounds like you're trying to say poemologist. I don't know where these extra letters coming from, but it really sounds like you're trying to say poemologist.
Well, it's spelled poem, and then analogist.
Okay, so poem analogist. You gotta let it roll up.
Poem analogist. Okay, I think I finally said it.
Right, right now, so, what's going on with you, Mona?
All right, wait, let me breathe.
I'm starting to think you were sipping some happy juice before you came over here.
Well, I wish. I haven't had a sip in a long time.
Wow.
Okay, so it's Aziz Poemenologist Robinson. Just please forgive
me.
I'm going to get it right one of these days.
You were saying the first time.
Well, yeah, I think it's.
The first time, I don't know what you were saying. A poemenologist. You just all
okay,
over
so
the place with
poem analogist. That's
just
how it's spelled. So
until he pop up and correct you, we just gonna say that for now, I guess.
No, because well, he haven't said nothing, so I must be, you know. But he so it's poem analogist. That's how it's spelled, but it's poem analogist. So,
at least you paid attention in school. You know how to sound that. I see you trying.
And, well, it's a
I see you trying. That's good.
So, okay, so let me make the quick announcement. Okay, it's poem analogist. Okay, all right, so it was stretched out for me. Poem analogist. Okay, yeah, I think I got it. I got it. Okay, so let me, before we bring our guests in, so the announcement that I was trying to make, but I just wanted to shout out, Aziz, poem analogist is basically like, you know, his stage name, his, you know, that, you know, he's a poet, he's an excellent poet. His poetry is available on Spotify, basically check him out. I think he's on YouTube as well. So it's Aziz Poemenologist Robinson. So real quick, I wanted to announce that I'm his new manager under Blue Notes Publications. So he's officially my client. So his first show, anybody who's from the Houston, Texas area. If you reside in the Houston, Texas area, Aziz will be Friday, May 20th at 8:30. He will be doing open mic at Remedy Knowledge Poetry and Comedy Lounge, 1701 FM 1960. What is that? Is that a STEH, Houston, Texas, 770-77090? STE, what does that stand for? What is that abbreviated for? Does anybody know?
I'm not sure.
You know, Elijah?
Nope. I don't know too much about Houston,
okay.
Texas. I got to get down there. A lot of people like that podcast down there.
Really? Oh, okay. Speedway. Okay, so it's Remedy Knowledge Poetry and Comedy Lounge, 1701 SM 1960, Speedway H, Houston, Texas, 770 9-0. So make sure you check out Icy's poemologist.
You said it. You know, y'all said it exactly right. It's FM. Yes, FM 1960. I don't know what the SD stands for, but if you get to FM 1960 in Houston, then you know exactly where it's at. So just follow that address that you gave. I didn't hear exactly where. I think you said 1701, but that's 1701 FM 1960. Yeah. So,
right.
So that's right. And okay, and y'all finally got it right as well, pulmonologist.
Yes.
Elijah was right. Elijah, you was right, my brother. So it's so, on Facebook it's Aziz Pulmonologist Robinson, but my actual stage name is the Pulmonologist or the Pulmonologist. Or Aziz the Pulmonologist.
Pulmonologist. Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes,
so everybody,
exactly.
you heard it straight.
Sound it out. Like we did, remember third grade moment?
Yeah.
Teacher say on the big blackboard,
right.
Sound it out.
Yeah.
You got syllables in the word. Pulmonologist.
Okay, so
sound it out with the syllables.
Okay, pulmonologist. I finally got it right. Okay, so everybody, when you go check out, when you go check him out,
yeah,
you
know,
his stage name
on Spotify, just look up the pulmonologist. That's all you have to do is type in the pulmonologist, and it'll bring up my tracks on Spotify.
Cool.
Or, yeah.
YouTube.
Much.
Are you on YouTube as well?
You know, I got a YouTube page, but I don't mess with it the way I should. I don't post enough on there. But I do have a pulmonologist page on YouTube. But you can either follow me on IG or go to Spotify. And you find some of my work there, or just come here to Drip the Mic.
Yes. All right, everybody.
Yep.
Before the show is over, I'll remind everybody one more time. But May 20th, 8:30 p.m. That's where if you're in the Houston, Texas, I would have to make it out there.
You'll be in the building.
Show.
Yes. Thank you for that shout out. I'll definitely be in the building. I'm going to do some hot shit.
No
so
problem.
If you definitely in the area, come through.
Can't wait. Well, we will definitely try to see if you can go live, if you could probably
to
go live when you're on stage.
I'll see if I get somebody to do it for me. Yeah, maybe hold my phone or something like that.
Right. And have them log into your Facebook page and go live on your Facebook page. That would be awesome.
Right. Okay. Oh, yeah, I got you. I'm definitely going to do that.
All right, y'all.
Well, y'all have a good show,
okay,
man. It was good hearing y'all again. I'm about to sit back and I'm about to listen to y'all's show. I can't wait to hear this guest that you guys got. I just want to hear a story. So I'm going to kick back and listen, man.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, y'all, 100.
Okay. All righty. Okay, so let's introduce our guest. She's here. She's been here listening. So real quick, the author that I was referring to, his author name is Arthur Khufu. He has two novels. He's actually published under Lockdown Productions. And he has two books, part one and two, Killer Bounty, available on Amazon.com. And so we're here tonight to just basically chat with his wife. Her name is Quinn Wright. So I think, matter of fact, she's here. So let's introduce Quinn Wright. Hello, Quinn. Stand by.
Hi. How are you? I'm well, and you guys? How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. We're good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for bringing
me. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much for, for coming in and agreeing to chat with us. So I want to introduce you to my co-host, author Elijah Foreman. Elijah, meet Quinn Wright.
How are you?
Hi, Eli. I'm well. And yourself?
I'm good. Just hanging in there. Good to meet you.
Likewise.
Looking forward to hearing the story. It sounds very intriguing. So I'm going to let you ladies, you know, chop it up. I might chime in here and there, but, you know, I'm going to let you have the floor. I want to hear about this.
Okay.
All right. So I want you to basically, I gave a brief intro on, you know, on who you are, that you're basically not an author, but I introduced your husband, that we're going to be discussing him. You're representing him. So I wanted to, you know, do a topic on incarcerated authors, you know. I think it's quite a few in the literary industry. And when I met you, you know, when you have reached out to me to promote for him, you know, and then I always start following, you know, all the authors that, you know, hire me to promote for them. And I just find it, you know, just you guys, like, you know, very interesting the way that you guys, you know, interact and the way you hold him down. And I just think it's a beautiful thing. So I said, let me bring her in here, you know, for Ladies Month. And we just talk about, you know, your husband, his books and his career and then his situation, and just basically, you know, just share an insight on what it's like to be the woman behind, you know, incarcerated author. So please start out by introducing yourself and let us know a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Okay. So my name is Quan Wright. I go by the name of Quan Wright.
Wait,
my real name is Quan.
I've been saying it wrong, too. I've been saying it wrong.
It is Quan. What do you say? It's Quan.
I said Quinn.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's perfectly fine because I get Quinn, I get Queen, I get Q. So, you know, it's all good. It's all good. I go by all of them.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. I was pronouncing it the way it was spelled, but okay. Thank you. Now I know.
Oh, no, it's okay. I understand.
Okay.
So, yes, my name is Quan. It's short for Quinithia because a lot of people can't pronounce that. I'm basically, I am a financial literacy. I study in financial literacy. Also, I am the owner of a body contouring company, which is called Body Contouring by Queen, in the city of Fort Pierce, Florida. Let me see. Also, I do a lot of different things. They call me the queen of all trades because if anything that needs to be done, a lot of people in my area and all over, they look up to me, they contact me, you know, any little information that they're needing, they know that I'm the person to come to that can get it done for them.
Nice.
Oh, also, I'm a mentor. Also, I'm a mentor. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, let us know exactly where you reside. So, you said you have a body contour business. What exactly does that consist of?
Body contouring, basically, it consists of you know, I work on women and men. Some women, you know, that wants to get their body done, I offer non-invasive, like laser lipos, but it's non-invasive. BBL, like butt lift, non-invasive. That means there's no pain. There's no downtime.
Oh, wow.
There's no pain. Yeah, so I offer those services. Also, I provide a numerous amount of products, which is a butt cream to help enhance the butt. I sell a breast cream as well and a breast oil that enhances the breast. You know, you might have some women that want to get, you want their hips to pop out. So I sell a cream that actually works, and it helps them pop their hips out. Like, it enhances the butts and enhances the hips. I sell different waist trainers, waist wraps, body oils, hair, skin, and nail oils, organic, turmeric cream for your face, diet drops. You know, you have some women that are having a hard time with losing the weight. Also, men, I sell a organic diet drop that will help them lose weight anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds a week. I sell many. Anything that has to do with health and wellness, I basically sell it. Oh, and I'm not going to forget, I do have sea moss. I sell sea moss gummies for, you know, a lot of people want to be healthy, stay on top because of this COVID. So I sell sea moss gummies, and they're very good.
Oh, wow. See, I did not know that. I would have been, you know, I wouldn't mind the clean, you know, the butt enhancement. So.
Yes.
And, oh, wow. Okay, so do you have a website?
Yes, I do. I have a website. The website is Body Contouring by Kwan, and that is, I might have to spell it out for y'all, you know, for the people that's, it's B-O-D-Y,
okay.
It's B-O-D-Y, C-O-N-T-O-U-R-I-N-G-B-Y-Q-U-E-N.com.
Oh, that's a lot. Okay, so okay, so when you get a chance, I want you to put it in the inbox for me. So
I'll put it in the inbox.
Put it in the inbox for me, and I'm gonna post it on my Facebook page. But anybody who's listening, please check that out. That is cool because I've been using a waist trainer, and I got my waist trainer off of Amazon. But I don't really care for it too much. I need something that's going to help me sweat more, and it's not really. And I need something that I could wear underneath clothes, underneath a form-fitting dress. And the one that I have is made really just for exercising. It helps me sweat, but I'm looking for something that I could also wear underneath clothing. You know, that's going to make me look snatch.
You want something like a wrap. I sell those. They're called snatch wraps. I also sell snatch wraps, and those are pretty good. You can wear them under any type of clothing, and you won't even know that you have it on. Like, you know, it won't stick out of your clothing or anything like that.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
I have those.
I'm on your website.
I have those. I will put it. Yes, I have a TikTok, Instagram. Everything is basically spelled out the same. So when I send it to you, you can look it up, and you'll see.
Oh, that is awesome. Oh, yes. I'm definitely going, you should have been telling me. I would have been promoting that. I know, you know, quite a few, you know, like, you know, family and, you know, the couple of friends that I do have, you know, we're into waist trainers, looking for different waist trainers, you know, that's really going to do the job. And you should have, I wish I had known. Oh, I would have been bringing you some business, girl. But, I'm glad I know now.
Really?
Yeah, we've been spending our money on Amazon. You travel.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I'm about to start selling on Amazon as well. Also, I accept Afterpay and Carlana payments. I accept those. You know, the paying for, and I accept PayPal paying for payments as well.
Oh, hey. Oh, well, that's awesome. So I'm going to make sure that I promote on my page and on my Instagram page and my Twitter page. So I did not know that you were, you know, because I was visiting your page or not, but I saw the body contour, but I kind of, like, looked over it. But I wish I had really took the time to realize what it was. But that is awesome. So I'm definitely going to check out your website. Okay, so you're like this businesswoman, you know, you seem to have a lot going on for yourself. So, you know, tell us how you met your husband, Arthur Khufu.
Okay, so me and Khufu, we grew up together, actually. So it was like I knew him. We grew up together as childhood friends. You know, then you adventure off into going into your own life. So so that's how, you know, I met him. But later down in life, like, he came to me, he tried to talk to me, and I wasn't interested because I was always the type that was like, oh, I don't want to talk to no guys like that because of the type of lifestyle he was living. Like, I'm just this, you know, not, I ain't going to say I'm a perfect because I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. That's just not the type of guy that I wanted to talk to. I didn't see myself talking to that type of guy. So, you know, I speak to him over the phone or whatever, but it never really gotten anywhere. So he, I believe, he ended up going to prison, and then he got out of prison, and then he did something, you know, and ended up going back to prison again. So while he was in prison this time, we ended up connecting with each other. And once we started connecting with each other, it was like, you know, I was going through my little situation I was trying to get out of. And I want to bring it to your guys' attention that I was married before. I was married before.
Okay.
And that marriage didn't go, you know, it didn't go as how I planned on, how we planned it on for it to go. It was like I was in love with somebody and I didn't know who I was really in love with. You get what I'm saying?
Wow. So, yes. Like, oh, yes, yes.
So that marriage basically taught me the signs and what to look for in a man that I did not, you know, want to be involved with ever again. So when me and Khufu started, you know, when he got to the point, he was like, I want you to be my wife. I thought, you know, I was like, nah, I think he's just joking, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, when we started that talking, we wasn't even really talking. It wasn't even, I want to say, it wasn't even 2 months in, and he popped a question to me. And so I was like, you know what, maybe this might be it for me. Maybe this here is going to keep me focused. It's going to keep me, you know, keep my mind straight because I don't have to worry about what's going on outside of, you know, in the world right now when it comes to me and men. I wanted to like just stay focused and elevate. And it's like it just went from there. And we hold each other down. Like I tell you, we talk, we don't talk on the phone every day because, you know, he's in federal prison. And in federal prison, they give you like 400 or 500 minutes a month. And when he get his minutes, honey, those minutes be gone within like 2 weeks. We've been to use those minutes up because he has to hear my voice. Like he has to hear my voice in the morning when I wake up. That's the first voice that I hear is his voice. He was called, he'll call me like in the afternoon, you know, like he calls me about 7 a.m. in the morning. After 7 a.m. he'll call me probably around about 10:30 a.m. and then he'll call back later in the afternoon and at night before they cut the phones off because they turn their phones off around 8 p.m. So he'll call me before the phones go off. He can get in line because sometimes in there, their phones are kind of broke. Some of the phones are broke. Then they got to cut it down to 10 minutes per call. And, you know, it's just crazy.
Right.
But he always make a way. We write each other all day, throughout the day, he's writing me. When he's not writing his books, he's writing me, you know. And he constantly, every time he write me, before he's done with, you know, writing, he has to tell me he loves me every time. And that is so important. I mean, it's hard to some women. It's hard. It's hard to hold them down to some women, but it's like if you focus and you know that you love this person unconditionally, it's nothing to it. It's nothing to it. Like some women, they gotta be like, oh, and men, it's always you know that it's like if I don't have sex, it's nothing. I don't have sex, I can't go on. We don't have sex. I don't have sex. I haven't had sex, and I don't even know. But it's a mind thing. And like now, now they have. I go to visit him every time, like because his where he is in Coleman, Florida, and Coleman is about it's about 3 hours away from me. And
right.
since they just started, they just opened back a visitation. Every time that he has a visitation, I'm there. Their visitation mm-hmm. is like once a week, and they mm-hmm. rotate it from sections. So I want to say the last month I've been to visitation 3 or 4 times within the last month. I try to get there every chance
wow.
that I get. As long as we have a visitation, I'm there, because it's like it's bad enough that we're not able to see each other on a daily. So what is it for me to
yes.
take out of my time? 4 hours, 3 hours a day to go see him. I'm going to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
Once they open visitation
wow.
back up, once they
mm-hmm.
open it back up to like the norm will be like 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
On the visitation day, you get 8 hours. You can touch, you know, when it's back normal.
8 hours?
I mean, yeah.
And,
once it's back
and
normal,
you stay there for the whole 8 hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you done?
Like,
wow.
I get there about 7 o'clock in the morning. They open the gates mm-hmm. at like 8 a.m. I go in there, they open the gates, you know, stay in there. We get to talk to each other, eat with each other. They have count time. When they have count time, he has to go back in the back, you know, and they count them, and then they come back out again. When they have, like, they have special rooms open when they for kids and stuff to come in. You know, it's okay. I mean, it's like I'm able to
wow.
see him.
Wow. That's interesting. That is very, very interesting. Okay, so here's let me formulate my question real quick.
I know it was a lot of information.
yes. Here's what's interesting to me, and then I'm gonna see if Elijah has anything, has a question, but here's what I find interesting. So when he was out on the street, he tried to talk
mm-hmm.
to you, you know, mm-hmm. I believe on more than one occasion, and it just,
mm-hmm.
and then you even gave him a chance the second time, and for whatever reason, it didn't feel right. And
right.
So you kind of like, I guess, friend zoned him, whatever. And it's
mm-hmm.
just interesting to me that when you didn't make that connection with him until he was incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were.
What was it like? What was it about him that you decided that, you know, that now that he's incarcerated, that you finally opened up to give him a real chance? Like, what was the difference from when he was in the street to now he's incarcerated?
Okay, the difference. I'm gonna tell you, Blood Ross.
Mm-hmm.
The difference from when he was
mm-hmm.
in the street, he was living a different
mm-hmm.
life. He was
okay.
living the life. Was in a gang, you know, and
right.
he was, you know, just doing criminal stuff. And I'm not
right, right.
that type of
mm-hmm.
person. I also
okay.
used to be a correctional officer. So
okay.
basically, I like to eliminate myself from people, you know, like that. And I'm
mm-hmm.
also someone that I don't drink, I don't smoke. So it's like
mm-hmm.
something you have to get used to, being around a person like that, and you don't know what this person is out here doing in the world, and then they come around you and then say they didn't got this up into something, and next thing you know, it's over. He talks about it all in his books.
right.
He talks about the type of lifestyle that he was living. Me personally, I couldn't be in that
mm-hmm.
type of lifestyle. Now, the
mm-hmm.
we call him, y'all call him Khufu. I don't really call him Khufu, but I'm going to keep it Khufu.
Right.
So
right.
now
I'm sorry. If you want, you can, because I wasn't sure if you, but you know, I believe, I'm not sure if that's his real name on Facebook, but if you want to address him by the
name, his real
name, he goes by on Facebook. That, okay, so if you want to recite
Khufu.
His real name, you can go ahead. Yeah, okay. So he wants to, okay,
okay
his pen name.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So when Amos,
Amos,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Amos got
mm-hmm.
incarcerated and like that, it's like,
mm-hmm.
it took a while, but he's on a whole nother different level. He's on a grown man status now. Everything he
really?
Did then, that right there is not even, it's like I left that behind me. One thing that I told him, I said, if you want me to be your wife, whatever you had going on mm-hmm. back there, back deep, that mm-hmm. lifestyle, that criminal, the gang, all that, you got to cut that out. You can't come home to me with knowing that this is something that you still want to do.
Right,
when I
right.
talked, I broke it down to him like that. He was like, I'm going to do whatever it is to keep my wife. I'm going to do whatever it is to have my wife. I don't want to make, I don't want to mm-hmm. do anything that's going to make her leave me.
Right.
He has his soulmate. He has everything he needs in a woman right here with me.
Right, right.
So.
That, okay.
That's
all right.
It,
okay.
That's what it was.
Okay, so. Let me, so, okay, so, I, you know, you hear about a lot of, I've heard all type of stories, you know, from,
mm-hmm.
Even before me coming into contact with incarcerated authors, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout my lifetime, I've never, you know, dated a guy who's incarcerated, because I've seen all type of stories, I've heard all type of stories, I've had friends who dated.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a term about jail talk. And
uh-huh.
men who are incarcerated, it's called jail talk, where they will sell you all types of dreams when they're incarcerated, you know. And, you know, because they're incarcerated, they want somebody to be in their corner. So they will do and say, they will say whatever sounds great, you know, to get somebody to hold them down. But then I've seen situations where once the guy comes home, all that good stuff he was talking went out the window. So that's
mm-hmm.
where the term jail talk comes in. How do you know that, you know, that's not what's happening now?
I'm going to tell you how I feel like I know.
Right.
How I feel like I know it's not jail talk is because it's like when I'm not near him or around him, like I can feel
mm-hmm.
the love that we both have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's just a different feeling that just goes into my soul. You know, when I'm on the phone with him or just thinking about him in general. Also,
mm-hmm.
another thing that makes me feel like, you know, it's not just jail talk is
mm-hmm.
his mom. I, you know, she, there's some things that she came to me and she told me. She said, you know what? My son never, ever said he wanted to marry anyone or ever told me about someone's going to be his wife until y'all got together. She said,
right.
I really do. You know, I know this is real. I know this is real
mm-hmm.
that he's taking the time out and saying that this is what he wants. Out of all of the women, you know, that he's dealt with, that
mm-hmm.
not one have mentioned or tried to bring his mom to see him. Okay?
Okay.
He's been incarcerated at Coleman for, 8 years? He ain't seen his mom in 8 years until me.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm just going to say, we don't know until he touched down what's really going to be. But until he touched down, I'm going to still be Khufu's wife. I'm going to be here. I'm going to hold him down.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't have to send this man nothing. I don't have to send him any money, any of that. He makes his own money. He's sending me money. You know, you have some men that's
wow.
incarcerated, mm-hmm. women taking care of these
mm-hmm.
men. That's not me. I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do
mm-hmm.
that. All his loyalty, same was going to him, but now it comes to me.
Okay.
So, you know, I try to make sure I stick around, do everything, do what I'm supposed to do. You know, if he's slack,
mm-hmm.
I'm there to pick him up. I'm there to encourage him. We encourage each other, you know, when it comes to my business,
yes.
when it comes to him writing his books, when it comes to whatever, yes. how his day going, how my day going, whatever I'm going through in life, he's there for me to talk to me, to talk me through it, to let me know everything is okay, and I'm a smart woman. I am intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I am brilliant. Don't allow anyone to mess my day up because I know who I am. So it's like,
right.
yes, you have women to he done talked to all different women, you know, he has a baby mama, but, you know, me and her
mm-hmm.
are very good. We're very good. That's
mm-hmm.
his son, that's my son. That's my son.
Right.
He don't want to go home. When he's
right.
at our house, he don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, oh, I
mm-hmm.
just want to go at Miss Kwan. I want to go at Miss Kwan. He loves me so much. And,
right.
you know, I don't have any problems. We have no problems. She called me. We communicate with each other. if she needs to talk with him, she'll ask me. She'll contact me. She'll say, can you have him to call me, please? There's something that I want to talk with him about. I have no problem with that. I tell him to call her. If I don't tell him to call her, he won't call her. So
wow.
I just think that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, I love that man. That man love me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we will see. We will see if it's just, you know, jailhouse talk or not. But,
well,
know,
yeah,
I mean,
definitely time will tell, but just from you passionately, the way you're expressing how you could feel is real, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So how long has he been in cosmetics? You said 8 years?
Yes, 8 years. And let me tell you one more thing. Me
mm-hmm.
and this man never had sex a day in our life. Not
right.
a day in our life for us to,
right.
okay, get married.
yes, yes.
So,
no,
yeah.
and that's how, well, the connection, I mean, well, you and him go way back. So I think that's what makes it a unique, you know, dynamic,
yeah.
a unique foundation because you've known him from the street. The fact that, you know, you guys grew up together, he's somebody that, you know, like you didn't just meet him while he's in cosmetic, you know, so
right.
that's what makes your story a very interesting one. He should write a story on you guys. Has he ever based you on a character? How many books does he have? I know I've been promoting, so I'm also his promoter. So I've been promoting Killer County. It's part one and part two.
Mm-hmm.
Part three will be coming out soon. I believe those are his only two books, right?
Right, correct. So
okay.
On three and the one that he's coming out with, the third one, he put me in the third
mm-hmm.
one. So I am a character in the third one.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was about to say, like, you know how he first started off with his books. but we're going to leave that.
Right, alone. Right. okay. right, right. So, okay, so he's been incarcerated for 8 years, but you guys just started your romantic relationship not too long ago. It's been about.
Yep. Yeah,
a year?
Almost a year, yeah.
Almost a year, okay. And so do you mind me asking how much longer does he have?
Well, technically, he actually is trying to come back right now. So they sentenced him to 15 years. But 15, it was 14 or 15 that they sentenced him to, and he already did 8.
Mm-hmm.
So technically he's supposed to have about, 6 years left, but
wow.
he's trying to come
mm-hmm.
back right now. He's trying to come back. He found something in his paperwork, and, you know, hopefully this will go through, because if it go through, they're going to have to let him go real soon. So, yeah.
Okay, so
he just,
So you mean they found some type of default in his case?
Yes, they found some type of default in his case. Because originally they tried to give him 30 years. He did time in the state prison, and what happened is they turned around when he was done with state time, thinking he was going to get out. They turned around, and the feds picked him up. Finished, he had to finish the rest of the feds.
Okay, so he got 6 more years to go, but they found a default in his case, so he's in the process of appealing, trying to get his time overturned.
Overturned, yes, trying to get it overturned. And that happened a lot in Florida anyway, so. Yeah, if you don't know the law, they're ridiculous.
Well, I've been doing quite a few research. I've taken a personal interest myself. I befriended somebody who's actually incarcerated there as well. And so I've been doing quite a few research on that facility. And so I discovered I discovered this organization called MOG. It stands for Ministry of Justice. And they were developed in 2020 where they help prisoners turn their convictions. That between 2020 and up until 2022, that organization has helped prisoners find default in their cases if their lawyer didn't do the, quite a few.
What
did
you say? What it was called again?
You know, it's called Ministry of Justice.
Ministry of Justice. Okay.
You never heard of them?
No. No.
Yeah, they're called Ministry of Justice, MOJ, and they were developed in 2020, and they help prisoners. They will help you. Like, if you can't afford an attorney and if you feel like you were wrongly convicted, they found some type of, hole. If there's any type of, you really are innocent, and, there's a lot of stuff that's not talked about. There are quite a few, inmates that are wrongly convicted, and because you're not a celebrity, you're a minority, they don't care. Like they don't care that these men, a lot of these men are sitting in prison, and women too. Matter of fact, are sitting. There are innocent people sitting in prison, for something that they didn't do. And if you're considered a minority, you can't afford a actual lawyer. You only have public defender. They don't care. And then those public defenders, they don't care. They're not gonna put in the full effort to try to get your case overturned.
You have some lawyers you pay and they still don't try. They still don't fight. You just lose your money.
That's
a good organization.
Yes. I've been doing quite a few research on their back on them, and they will help you. You also have to put in the work to help them help you, if you feel like you're real innocent. So it's a very interesting organization. So I know a person who his conviction was overturned. He's served 24 years for a crime he did not commit. And he actually, his conviction was overturned in 2018, but they still wouldn't let him go. And MOG, was developed in 2020, and MOG now are the one that's helping him, you know, come home.
Oh, okay.
Even after his case, certain states, people don't talk about, like, and then, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody in the South, but in the South, they're doing those inmates dirty. You know, his case was overturned in 2018, still, like, trying to, so you was able to prove your innocence, but this and that. They're keeping him in there, you know. And so MOG has stepped in. And so here it is, 2020, but 2022, and paperwork is still being processed. It's still more paperwork. Like, from the day in 2018 that his conviction was overturned, like, even if it's a few weeks to a few months, but sometime in 2018, mm-hmm. at least 2019, this man should have been home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the prison system is very, it's supposed to be a rehabilitation, you know, but I'm not saying everybody's innocent, but sadly, mm-hmm. there are quite a few innocent people sitting in prison.
Right, and prison where he is, that particular prison where he is, like, I have to stay on his counselor. I have to call his counselors. I have to call, you know, his team, the team, because it's like when he go meet with her every 3 months, it's like they should have him at a certain level that they don't. Like, if he get in any trouble, did he go back to the penitentiary, which the facility that he is at is the biggest federal prison mm-hmm. in the world. So
right.
if he get in any trouble, he goes to the penitentiary. You don't want to go to the penitentiary. None of them wants to go to the penitentiary because it's totally different than, you know, where he is right now over in Medium. And mm-hmm. it's like, ladies, just do your job. Do your paperwork so you can get this man back down to where he needs to be at, to the level that he needs to be. You still got him on high when he's been over here for 5 years and haven't gotten in any trouble. Like, what are you doing? So it's like, I'm calling out there trying to make sure that they get things right, you know, get his level to where it needs to be. And I'm even telling them, hey, if she don't get it done, I'm going to reach out to her supervisor. And if her supervisor don't get it done, mm-hmm. I'm just going to contact Tallahassee, Florida, because Tallahassee, they're going to make sure things get done. And even if that case, I contact D.C., because in D.C., that's where the federal, you know, that's where the big office is for federal prisons. Somebody needs to get down mm-hmm. to the bottom to why these inmates are not getting treated like they're needed to begin treated. You, like you said, we
right.
have some innocent inmates that's in these facilities, and that they also, inmates have rights as well.
Right.
And it's like, they're looking at, like, okay.
Yes. It's interesting what you said. You mentioned D.C., that they're connected with the federal. So people, quite a few in prisoners from D.C., they don't have, D.C. doesn't have like a prison. They have the county jail, but they don't have a prison for prisoners. So they're sending, you know, prisoners over there to Coleman, Florida to do their time, you know.
That's
so
crazy.
This particular prisoner, he's also an author. He's from D.C. He's from Washington, D.C., but he's been doing his time the whole 24 years in Coleman, Florida.
Wow.
Because D.C. doesn't have a prison. So they moved this man all the way from D.C. all the way to Florida to do his time all this time because D.C. don't have actual prison.
Federal. They might as well let that man free. 24 years?
Well, he's crazy. The one that his conviction was overturned because he was able to prove his innocence.
Yeah.
You know, his co-defendant was released years prior, but he was like, they was like holding on to him. So then MOG has stepped in and they're helping him. So it's a very complex, you know, situation with the prison, with the prison system, and you know, so I think it's a very interesting, beautiful. So how long is too long, do you think, like, that you could say, let's say, for example, and God forbid, I'm a knock on wood, you know, that he had to do another 6 years. Can you see yourself still riding with him?
Yeah, I can see myself riding with him, because before I made that vow, I had to think about all that. I had to think about, you know, the what ifs. And are you sure you're ready for this? Are you sure, you know, you want to wait this time out with this man? Like I said, I was already married, so I know what I don't want from a man. You know, we've also had that talk where if there's anything that you want to do while I'm in here, just let me know. You know, I understand that you may have reasons why I'm not there, so. We have that type of communication where I will talk to him if there's something that I feel like, you know, hey, I'm getting lonely. I'll tell him if I feel like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I might talk to somebody today or something like that. I'm going to tell him. And that's the thing about it. He knows that I'm very blunt with him, and he's very blunt with me. I don't hold back anything when it comes to him. If there's something that comes straight to my head and I feel like I need to talk to him about it, I'm going to talk to him about it. Like, I don't want to be the person to hold secrets from him and, you know, like, hold anything in the inside of me. If I feel like I can't do it, I'm going to tell you, I can't do it. But, you know, I just, as I'm down, I'm here. I'm ready for the ride. I'm going to continue riding, and, you know, I don't have nothing but time, but while we waiting on that time, I'm also elevating in my businesses. I'm also elevating with him, trying to, you know, get everything situated, get it to where it needs to be, you know.
Right.
But
say that the loneliness has taken over, and you, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're only human and you have me. And so how would he take it if you were to tell him, like, look, you know, I'm still going to be with you. I'm still going to hold you down. I'm not going anywhere, but I have these needs, and I just need to, you know, be with somebody, you know, just for, you know, just sexual gratification. Like, how would he take that?
Well, let me tell you how it was discussed, okay? So I was like, babe. So I ain't gonna come at him with no dude, because I ain't trying to, I have that much respect for him. Hey, I ain't trying to do that. I ain't trying to let nobody else play with your stuff while you in there. You know what I'm saying? So no. So I was like, babe, you know, what about me having a girlfriend? You know, what you think about me having a girlfriend while you in there? You know, like, what you think about that? he was like, oh, okay. You can have a girlfriend, but she's gonna have to be a femme. You can't get no studs.
Okay, so he's okay with a woman, but if it was a man, he would not be okay with it.
Yeah, he's not okay with that. He's not okay with that.
Wow.
He don't want me to. No. I can understand it, you know. So
but are you serious about that, though? Like, do you go that direction as well?
I mean, I have.
Okay.
That's why, you know, I tell you, like, hey, I talk to him, we talk. Like, there's no reason for me to just hide it from him. Like, I told him, you know, hey, if anything, it'll be, you know, I'm a woman. And so he was like, only thing I ask for you is to not fall in love with her. You can't fall in love with her.
Wow.
Why he say that, but he's just like, you just can't fall in love with her. Because he loves his wife. He don't want his wife to go nowhere. And it's like, you know, as of right now, well, I'm good. I got me a rose, though.
Oh, God. I keep hearing so much about this rose, but I just never really took the time to go research it on anything like that. So how is it?
I love the rose. Listen, I got three of them. I ain't going to lie, because when one die, I got to have the backup.
Oh, my God.
They're good. Like,
I can't do it. I'd rather just stay cold turkey.
You don't put anything. I don't deal with any type of toys. Got to go inside of me. I like the rose because it's more like a stimulator. So it basically stimulates the click or whatever. So it sucks on the click, and you know, it's like blow the air. It sucks on it, and I like it. I ain't gonna say I like it. I love it. Because give me that for like 5 minutes and I'm asleep. And that's it. I don't got time for nothing else.
Really? Wow. Oh, my God. It's very interesting. Oh, my God. All right. Wait. So let's take... all right. So just give me a few seconds. So on that note... So anybody who's tuning in, we are chatting with Quan. Okay, I'm saying your name correctly. Quan Wright,
yes.
The wife of Arthur Khufu. We're having a real interesting conversation. Elijah, do you have any questions?
I didn't have no questions. I had a comment before y'all started. You know that.
Well, go ahead.
I mean, I think my comment might be a little outdated now. Y'all done changed the subject. You know, y'all on some other stuff.
No, we ain't changing the subject.
Oh.
No, we...
Hey.
All right, we're back on track. Well, it falls under the same category. I just wanted to know, I think everybody out there who's having a relationship with a person who's incarcerated, you know, I think we all want to know, like, you know, what is it like, you know, how do you satisfy yourself if you decided that you're going to be completely loyal and not hook up with anybody else? So we're still in that line, but she, you know, the rose is very popular right now. Once it hit the market, like, you know, and I've been hearing a lot of interesting stuff about it. I've never tried it myself, and you know, so I think we're still on topic. Go ahead, make your comment.
Well, I'll say this about the jail stuff. I have a close family member. I won't say who he is because he wants to leave that part of his life, you know, in the past. Mm-hmm. But he got into some trouble, and he was with the young lady for a while already when he got into the trouble. He ended up having to do 5 years in prison. When he came home, his wife already had a house laid out, ready for him, had a Range Rover in the garage waiting on him. And all she told him to do was to do what he loves to do, which is sports. He played football in high school, and now he's a coach. So all she wanted him to do was do what you love to do and not do what you have to do. When he was running around in the streets, he was doing what he had to do, or he felt like he had to do, in order for his family to be all right. But for them 5 years that he was gone, she was laying groundwork with her nursing career to where he didn't have to do that anymore. Now he's able to do what he loves to do, and he has his own clinics for, you know, kids in junior high school and high school to come out and work out. And now it's to the point where he has a big number of kids who are committed to college. on full ride scholarships, and he has a couple of kids who may be getting drafted in the NFL soon. So, you know, he went from running around in the streets to going back to what his passion was, which is sports. And a lot of that he thanks his wife for. And he was one of them dudes, too, where it was like, in his 20s, he wasn't thinking about no marriage. You know, he didn't get married until he was 39. And he had been with his wife since he was 19. So they were together for 20 years before marriage was even, you know, I'm sure it was a thought, but before it was a realistic thought. And, you know, he just turned 40 recently. So at the end of the day, you know, it's a dope thing to see. I was at their wedding, and I know the history. Hey. So, you know, when she was speaking about, you know, guy being incarcerated and woman holding him down and things of that nature, that story popped right in my head because I was there for it, you know?
Right.
Now, as far as the other stuff y'all talking about, I mean, I just see that I have to go back to some of my old ways with my pen. Because, you know, I just got booked on a podcast for somebody else, and the main story they want to talk about is a book I wrote 6 years ago called Maker Cream. And I see I need to go back to that. I didn't know this was still something that women like. Apparently, I'm losing money.
What?
So I'm going to let y'all talk. I got to write some plans now on this board I got here.
Wait. Wait, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean you didn't know what women like? What are you talking about? Like, the hooking up with a chick?
As far as the books, I mean, from what I see, right, I've been in the business since 2013. When I first came out, my books were real edgy and blue. Like, either you liked it or you were like, oh, my God, why did he say that? That was my writing in the beginning. And I had so many women coming at me talking about I was too dirty with some of the stuff I was writing. I kind of toned it down over the last couple of years. But lately, this is like the third or fourth conversation I've been in where women just starting to let it hang all out again. I don't know what COVID did, but COVID brought women back to how they used to act 10 years ago.
Well,
and I like it.
No, he likes it.
COVID must have had y'all in the house just, you know, contemplating those things.
Well, you know, women are, you know, more expressive now with what they want, you know, with what their needs are, you know. I mean, when we were younger, our generation, we were taught to, you know, you can't discuss this. It's for behind closed doors and stuff. But now, you know, now we live in an era like it's okay, you know, for women to express, like, this is what I want. This is how I want it. This is how I like it. Like, you know, and we live in that era now. So it's okay. And
fellas, we slacking. You know, Mona's too nice. So I gotta say what Mona don't want to say. I'm like the devil on her right shoulder. You know, we're a little too nice. You know,
I could say it.
You know, we slacking. We ain't doing our job, basically, you know. And this is why I used to make so much money back in the day, because women used to read some of these books and already be there. So they just needed their husband to get them over the hump. They were there already.
Right.
Let's get to it. So thank you, Mona. I'm back. Officially tonight. We back. We back to the dirty stuff in these books. I'm not caring no more.
Well, you're welcome. Eliza is crazy. Okay, so we're over here chatting with Quan Wright, the wife of Arthur Kufu. We're having a real interesting conversation. So I want to talk about, you know, when he decided to, you know, to become an author, because I don't believe he was an author prior to doing this this incarceration deed. Okay. All right. So we're going to take a brief commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get into when he decided to become an author. So we'll be right back, everybody.
tell me what kind of man would treat this woman so cold. Treat you like you're nothing when you're worth more than gold. Girl, to me you're like a diamond. I love the way you shine. $100 million treasure, I'd give the world to make you mine. I'll put a string of pearls right in your hand. Make love on a beach of jet black sand. Out right in the rain, we can do it all night. I'll touch all the places he would not. And some he never knew it gets you hot. Nothing is forbidden when we touch.
So if anybody would like to call in and ask her any questions, please call in 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. Okay, so Quan. All right, so I'm saying your name correctly, right? I've been saying Quan all this time. I seem to have this thing with, you know, mispronunciating people's name incorrectly. Okay, so before we went into commercial, I was asking, so being an author, now I'm going to assume, you know, because that's the case with a lot of authors, that writing, because, you know, people don't just decide that, boom, I want to write. You know, most of us have writing backgrounds, you know. So did he have any type of writing background before he decided he wanted to become an author?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He had no writing background. Basically, mm-hmm. he started writing in 2017 because one of his cellmates was writing a book, and he thought, shit, excuse my language, let me try it. So, you know, and he was mm-hmm. like, if he can write a Suzette, then he could write a book.
Okay.
And that's how he started back in 2017. And he came up with the name Khufu. It was in 2010, and he was locked up in mm-hmm. a hole for 30 days. And he goes to say,
really?
And I'm reading what mm-hmm. he wrote this, you know, so let everybody know. And he said when he was in the hole reading a dictionary and came across the name Khufu, he was the African king of, what is it, Farah?
Mm-hmm.
Farah of the fourth dynasty in Egypt. Farah, or something like that, of the fourth dynasty in Egypt. The name uh-huh. resonated with him because he was one of many ancestors. That makes him descendant of royalty. He come from a bloodline of kings, so he felt like it was only right to take on the name of one. The name of his book, Killer County, came from a state prison, which, you know, the state prison in Florida. On the prison IDs of the inmates from the city where we're from, Fort Pierce, is a K. Before the inmates that heard of the violence coming out of the city, which is Fort Pierce, gave them that name, Killer County. So they was like, the K stand for Killer County because y'all, you know, be killing since in the 60s, you know. As of his background, he was a fatherless child. He was born premature. His mother tried to raise him the best way she could, but being poor was a way of leading you into the streets. He got shot at the age of 17. After that, things turned him to be an animal, okay? Shout out. He was in shootouts and selling drugs became the normal for him. All of his homies died. They're either dead or got a life sentence. He barely escaped the same fate. He attempted murder on some dudes and got pulled over in the process. This is why he's in there right now. He beat the attempted murder, but the feds picked him up on gun charges and hit him with enhancement, labeling him as an armed career criminal. They gave him 15 years, but he's at the end of the sentence, you know, and daylight is coming again for him. And when he come home, he's going to continue to write books and start his own publishing company.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so did you, because, okay, so let me, I know a situation about an author who basically was given an ultimatum by his woman, you know, after, you know, she did one bid with him, and he came home, then he messed up again and caught another bid. And second time around, she gave him an ultimatum, like, listen, I will not do this with you again unless you do something more productive with yourself. Like, even if you never come back home, because he's actually facing a whole lot of time, like borderline life. And so that's the ultimatum he was given, and that's what turned him into becoming an author. You know, so that's why I was asking, you know, what made him decide to become an author, because I wanted to see, like, if you, I was curious, like, you know, did you give him an ultimatum? You know, like, he has to do something productive.
No, this is something that he started to do prior to us, you know, being together. But since I've come into the picture, I have pushed him more and persuaded him more, you know, and basically let him know there's more things in life. You know, you can do more than just writing books. I want to push him to be like I said, starting their own publishing company, you know, getting the authors to sign up under him. You know, we've talked about so much when it comes to the type of, you know, everything that he could be doing, expanding. I've actually, well, you know, because I've actually had people contact me recently, probably about two or three people asking me about writing a book for them. Or asking, you know, hey, what do I need to do? What's the steps? And, you know, I need someone to publish and this and that. And they just come to me because I promote his book so much. When you promote, I turn around, I share, I'm posting, you know, and I'm talking about him so much. And even when he has his own social media, it's the same thing. Like, he's talking so much about his books every day on the daily. He talks about his book. He talks about how his book is all over the world. When he say all over the world, literally, they're everywhere. They're in China. They're everywhere. They're in Walmart, Barnes & Noble. Every big company, even little mom and pop bookstores have his books.
Okay.
And, I mean, that is wonderful with him being in controversy.
Yes, it is.
You know, and like,
it's like it's not much that he can do being behind bars, but when you have a mouth out here,
right.
you have a woman, you have a wife, you have your soulmate, you have your everything here to help you do what it is that you need to do. Like they said, the mm-hmm. sky is the limit, and that's exactly what it is.
Well, that is beautiful. Now, and that is the core of the story right there. So shout out to you. So it goes back to what I said before we brought you on, that, you know, he's very, very lucky. And he seems to, you know, realize how lucky he is because, you know, like I said, you know, I don't know if his nose in this, but basically, you know, when, you know, an author hires me, you know, I be on their page. Like when I go to post on their page, I just happen to go look down the timeline and, you know, and you know, call him nosy, whatever. But I can't help but notice, like, his, you know, post, the daily dedication that you two make to each other. It's so beautiful. I really love that. You know,
thank
so,
you.
You know, I promote black love. Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing, and it's very hard to find, you know, because a lot of, you know, male authors, I mean, I'm sorry, incarcerated. And not just male, you know, it's funny, women are going, you have some women who are doing time and they don't have nobody. You know, they don't have mm-hmm. a man to really hold them down, you know, just like, you know, I think everybody's looking for like a papoose. You know, remember Remy Ma when she did her time, you know, papoose was
mm-hmm.
there every step of the way. I think she did, what, 6 years? And he was there. So, and then what's interesting about him is that you never heard of him, you know, and then he was a, you know, so, you know, people don't think, you know, papoose is that big. You know, they look at Remy as more of a star. Star, but he's the one who taught her how to rap. And his lyrical skills is amazing. So he's a star in his own right. But you never heard him of any scandal and stuff like that. So it's a beautiful thing to find somebody to hold you down and to bring you peace. You don't hear them about, you don't,
yep.
you, it's not just about being held down. It's about having somebody on the outside to help you maintain your sanity while you're doing this time. And
right.
that's very hard to find. Because really, you could find, and that's not easy either, but it's easier to find somebody that's going to put a few money, you know, send you a few money to get commissary and stuff like that, you know, to even, you know, chat with you through email, to even take your phone calls. That's easier to find than to find, like, real loyalty, like somebody who's really going to hold you down, you know, that's going to be there for you, that's going to be there. So you have some, you know, some incarcerated guys that say that they don't think about, oh, is she sleeping with somebody else? They're not going to make themselves go crazy thinking about that, because what can they do if she is
right.
sleeping with somebody
right.
else? They care more about, damn, when I call, is she going to answer my call? Is she going to be there tomorrow or the next day, the next month? Is she going to be there
mm-hmm.
to just be there for me? And that's what they care about. And I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There was one incarcerated author who, you know, that I promoted for, and he had somebody reach out to me. She introduced herself to me as his wife. But he came in my inbox one day, and he was like, oh, thank you. You're doing a great job. By the way, I just wanted to clear it up. That chick is not my wife. Like, what the hell? Like, he was like, and that was the beginning of that particular author was trying to talk to me. So let me clear that up. And so he wanted me to know that wasn't his wife. I didn't care. But my thing is, I entertained conversation with him through the inbox, and I'm like, really? I said, because she seemed very adamant. I thought he was lying, you know. And he was like, no, because then he went on to tell me the sob story. And I sat there and I read it, you know, because I had time. And he was like, basically, you know, that she was sleeping with other people, that he was even, like, engaged to her. He had proposed to her. But I said, well, why do you care? Like, if she's still there for you, why do you care if she sleeps with somebody else?
oh, I had a problem with the fact that she lied about it. Well, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, so he actually broke it off of her, don't want to have anything to do with her because she was lying. He said he wasn't upset about the fact that she went and got sexual attention for somebody else. He was more upset over the fact that it came back to him, and when he confronted her, she lied about it. So he's more angry over her lying about it. he's more angry with him, with her lying. So, everybody has different personalities, different wants, different needs, different, you know, but I even told a couple of my male cousins, they were like, yo, that nigga is crazy. Who cares? It was like, why would you push her away? Because she's putting money in your book. She's doing it. She's doing that. She's the one who hired me. She's the one who sends the money for his promo for the first 2 months. So she's doing all this for you. She still wants to be with you. Why do you care if she slept with somebody else? Oh, what?
That's great.
You know? So, yeah, but that's what it is. So, I was just curious to know, like, you know, with, you know, Kufu, if you were to take it there with somebody else, would he just say, you know, oh, well, and deal with it? Because I'm sure he's not going to break nothing off with you, right?
I mean, no, he's not going to bring nothing
like,
off of me.
If it comes from you.
Right, if it comes from me. But you have to think about it. I had that opportunity to let him know that, okay, I feel like, or I think that I might talk to somebody else, to another dude. I think that I might do that. But before I said I do, I needed to already let him know that, okay, I'm not ready for this right now. So I'm not going to be able to tell him that, hey, I'm going to talk to another dude. That's not going to be okay with him. It's not going to be okay with him because it's different when you, you know, once you marry that person and you carry that person's last name, that man trusts you with his heart just like I trust him with my heart. So I can't say, oh, I'm going to deal with another guy. But before we said we do, you know, that was, do you think that you ready for this? Because if you want to still talk to somebody, you know, I'll still be waiting on you when I come home. I'll just come to you when I come home. We'll just be together. That was an option, too. That was one of the options. But I said, no, I don't want to do that. I know that you're who I want to be with, and I don't want to be with anybody else, and I'm not trying to talk to no other dude. So, you know, and I know for a fact when he cut all the women off that he was sent to and they were sending him money and, you know, all kind of stuff, like he literally cut them off because I've actually had, like, one or two of the girls say something to me and they was like, well, he's your man now, you know. He told me what it is and I respect that. At first, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, he's just saying this because he's just like a man that's going to tell me that he ain't talking to nobody. But when those women came to me and they basically clarified what he said, that they're not talking to him anymore or that he cut it off, I mean, he had women making posts and everything because he cut them off about me, you know. So, like, I just feel like I got to give him their respect. He gave me my respect. I'm going to have to give him his respect.
Right.
But
when he called me,
I answer every call. There's not one time that I have not answered a call for him when he called. That's what he's looking for, to get back into that. That's what they want. If you could do that, that means the world to them. I answer every call. When it's time for visitation, I'm there for visitation. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm doing everything to hold it down. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So, like you say, if there's anything else that I was possibly doing or had anything in my mind I want to do, in other words, No, Cooper was able to get mad because guess what? Everything, things was getting taken care of on his end. So anything else was going on, and he ain't even worried about that. That ain't even on his mind.
Right, right, right. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with, you know, it was a very interesting, you brought a lot of, you know, light to a lot of, you know, to this particular topic. So thank you so much for coming and, you know, chatting with us. And I really, really appreciate you sharing, you know, your story, you know, with us. Elijah, do you have any last comment?
Not at all. I love the story. I'll definitely be looking your husband up to see some of his work. And
okay.
Other than that, like I said, thank you, Mona. I'm back.
Yes, yes, yes. Well.
Thank you, guys.
So, No. You're so welcome. So can you please let us know, so Cuckoo's books are available not only on Amazon, but they're also available in Walmart and Barnes & Noble.
Matter of fact,
yes,
hold on, Mona. Real quick, we want you to do that too, but also tell us where to find your products at, because there are a lot of women who need the products that you have and would like to purchase them.
Right.
Sure. So let us know about that too.
So they can find me on Facebook, Quan Wright. That's Quen Faith Wright. Wright. I'm the only one with that name on there. They could find me on there, and through there you can find my business page. My business page is Body Contouring by Quan, which is Quen, so it's spelled out just like that, Body Contouring by Quan. And my website is Body Contouring by Quan all together. I have Instagram the same. And I also have TikTok, which is the same thing, Body Contouring by Quan. And I do ship.
Okay.
I ship nationwide. I have different specials from time to time. Just check the website. You will see it on there. I offer Afterpay payments, what you're paying for. I offer Klarna payments. And PayPal as well. Oh, Cash App too. You can pay Cash App that way through my website because I'm a businesswoman. You can't Cash App me directly. On there, if you need like credit repair, that's on my website as well because I do repair credit. If you need a business 101 plan, I do that. I do grant writing as well. I offer a whole lot of different services. And I travel, so if you have any women that want to have, like, a Women's Day, spa day, party, weddings, I do all that. I will come to them with my equipment. I also train, so if you want to get into the body contouring atmosphere industry, I could train you to be certified into body contouring. You know, baby, I'm that person.
Right. Well, please put your website in the inbox, and I will post it, you know, onto my page. And once again, okay, so Khufu's books, his part one, part two, Killer County, is available on Amazon.com as well as Walmart and Barnes & Noble.
Yes, his. Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yes, his book is available on Amazon, Walmart, World of Books, Barnes and Noble, everywhere. You can put it in Google and it's gonna pop up. I also have books myself where they can get them off me. I also have the books where I would ship them out as well. So, you know, if you don't go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, anywhere like that, you can contact me and I also ship them out to you.
Okay.
great, 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 great. Okay, so thank you, thank you once again for joining us tonight. Everybody, make sure you check out Quan's products on her website. Once again, I will post her website on the page, and make sure you check out Arthur Khufu, Killer County, Part 1 and 2 on Amazon.com and in Walmart and Barnes & Noble stores. And Part 3 will be coming out soon.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night. Yes, yes. Have a great night. Thank you, Eliza.
Good night.
Have a great show. Good night.
Y'all have a good one.
Peace.
All righty.